Before we start, let's pray. Father, we just thank you for this day and another opportunity to serve you. And God, I just ask that you anoint this meeting, Father, and that what we say and do here glorify you. Father, we just praise you. We just thank you for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay. We're going to talk about the homosexual movement. And as most of you know, I really didn't come prepared to talk about it. So, we're going to wing this to some degree. And the first thing I want to say, there's two things you have to distinguish up front as rules, if you will, when you start talking about the homosexual movement. Okay, get your feet down. Girls don't do that. One is dealing with when you deal with the homosexual, the person, and the second is the homosexual political movement. And the two are very, very different. When you talk about the homosexual, the person, then the major problem you have is one of the spiritual. And the homosexual, the person, needs to be dealt with just like any other person who's lost. They need to be ministered to. They need to have the gospel presentation given to them in a clear manner. But even past that, let's assume that a homosexual comes to Christ, then you've got to be willing to help him from that point on. Because typically they run in a pretty tight community where, in other words, it's very common to see homosexuals work with homosexuals. Their friends are homosexuals, and so their entire life built around it. So once one comes to a saving knowledge of Christ, then your responsibility is to try to help them out of that lifestyle, on top of the fact that you've just given them what they've needed for a spiritual relationship with the Lord. So you've got to be willing to go the extra step. It's the same thing as an alcoholic. You don't help an alcoholic out of alcoholism and then leave him with his drinking buddies. And you don't help a homosexual out of that lifestyle and leave him with that group. You help him out. So always keep the two separate. When you talk about the homosexuals, you have to be careful here, because what we don't want to do is we're no more opposed to the homosexual, the person, than we are anyone else who has a sin problem. So you don't want to be on the attack when it comes to that. Now, moving past that, the political agenda is what most of the focus is on. The political agenda of the homosexual community is something that we very clearly come out and stand against for a lot of reasons. It's obviously wrong, for one. And the interesting thing is, when you study the policies of the homosexual community, the very policies that the leadership wants will destroy that movement. Because when you start talking about condom distribution as widespread as they want, so in other words, they don't want policies that restrict the behavior. They want policies that give them what they think is safe sex mechanisms, so they can continue in this lifestyle and not change the behavior. And the problem with that is studies are showing is that the main group of people that it's actually hurting is the people that it's the homosexuals. Because if you don't get them out of the lifestyle, eventually, it's Russian roulette. It's not a matter of if it's going to happen. It's a matter of when are they going to start contracting sexually transmitted diseases, whether it's AIDS or what it is, and a number of other things. typically, homosexuals are very unhappy people. They have about 6,000 times or 600 times suicide rate as any other group in America. It is because mainly they are just flat unhappy. The average life expectancy of a homosexual male in America, if he doesn't contract AIDS, is 41. AIDS victims is about 37. So not only are they unhappy, they typically don't live very long. They do have, as a whole, more expendable income than most people, and that's part of the reason that the political movement is able to do as well as it does, because they have a lot of discretionary money that they can spend and put in the movement. And, Well, it's a real sad situation because the like I said, the very policies that the leadership of the homosexual community want are destroying the movement, and it is literally as each year passes, there is a greater number of them that are just flat dying from one thing or another, and it is a sad situation, and that's why I bring up the homosexual person. I think it's important that we remember who they are and that they are people, and each of us is lost as a goose until we come to a saving knowledge through Christ. So whether your sin is homosexuality or you were the prostitute at the well, we all fall in the same boat. You should remember that. Now, having said that, however, I will say this. Having dealt with them, they are much like an alcoholic. You can bring an alcoholic and put him in an AA meeting, but if he's not broken and ready to reform his life, he probably won't. A homosexual is the same way. If they're not broken before God and are ready to repent and head a different direction, then you're probably not going to be very successful in getting them to move. And that's true, really, in anything you're talking about. I think when you get into a major sin area in your life, God typically has to allow you to hit rock bottom before you reach out to Him. But you've got to cry out to Him before you're going to see real transformation. So anyway, the homosexual community politically is very active. They tend to raise quite a bit of money. In 1992, they claimed credit for registering 100,000 people for Bill Clinton. And I'm sure that number was somewhat inflated, but I do know they were very active. They did put millions of dollars of cash into the Bill Clinton campaign. So they are very active politically. There are a number of groups out there. The two main ones that are the most active is Queer Nation and ACT UP. ACT UP is the more radical one, and it was actually formed because they said Queer Nation wasn't radical enough. So, but their agendas are right now, it's a pretty singular focus right now. They're obviously after same-sex marriages. But the main thing that you're going to see them up there lobbying on right now is AIDS funding, and it's AIDS research, and it's that whole thing. In fact, we spent, and I don't have the figures in front of me, I'm sorry, I just didn't know I was going to be doing this, but we spend more money on AIDS research and AIDS, the whole AIDS funding issue than any other disease. In fact, most all the diseases combined would not equal the funding level that we give to AIDS victims. And we're not opposed to AIDS research, but most of this money doesn't end up in research. Most of this money ends up in these, like AIDS Services of Austin or Dallas, AIDS Services of Dallas, where they teach these same-sex practices and they hand out the lubricants and they hand out the condoms and the whole thing. So that's where most of this money ends up. And that's why most conservatives are opposed to it. The research end of it gets a pretty small percentage of that. And the research is an interesting deal because, throughout the history of America, we've had a number of viruses hit this country. In fact, there's dozens of them that are just common viruses. And we've never cured a virus, ever. Now, we have come up with some prescriptions to try to deal with the side effects as a result of a virus, but we've never cured one of them. And there's no reason to think we're going to cure the AIDS virus. But the homosexual community, what they want is, again, going back to the behavior thing, they don't want to change the behavior. They understand that the behavior causes disease, but they do not want to change the behavior. What they want is a cure-all. So that's what they picket and they harass and they do all these things to the pharmaceutical companies and to the Department of Health and Human Services, because they want more and more money for AIDS research, because they want a cure. They want to be able to continue in the lifestyle without the consequences. And I mean, the fact is, it doesn't matter what you're talking about, whether you're talking about sexual behavior or you're talking about smoking or what you're talking about, for every action there is a reaction. And God made our bodies to function in certain ways and to have certain things put into them and certain things not to be put into them. And when you violate those natural laws that we were, you know, made to function around, then something will go haywire. And it's certainly nothing less on the homosexual front. And it's not just homosexuality. Any promiscuous sexual activity has clear consequences to it. Whether you're talking about homosexual relations or whether you're talking about heterosexual relations, God set up some pretty strict rules for our own benefit about monogamous relationships within the context of marriage. And when you start getting outside of those, you really start having serious problems. At the state level, they're not nearly as active as they once were. I think there's a lot of reasons. The main thing is the homosexual community, there's just flat not as many of them, and they have not been nearly as vocal. In Texas, they have put most of their effort on repealing the Texas sodomy law, which is a law we don't enforce, Section 2106 of the Penal Code. But by that law being there, what it does prevent from happening, if under law right now, under Texas law, homosexual conduct is illegal. Well, we may not prosecute it all the time, but it is illegal. So if the conduct is illegal, then you can't give class status to it, which is ultimately what the homosexual community wants. They want to be able to be included like the minorities, the real minorities have, or race, you know, national origin, that type of thing. The white straight male becomes the minority. But they want that class status. Having a sodomy law on the books, and Texas is one of 26 states that still has one, prevents that from happening pretty much, because it's hard to come up there and give class status to a group of people who, what is a homosexual? Homosexual is someone who that engages in homosexual sex. Well, homosexual sex is illegal. So therefore, it just wipes out the whole thing. So it's hard to get in class status. And, you know, Bill made a good point, I thought, because when you're talking to liberals, you typically are not going to move them on philosophical arguments. But the key is, can you ask the right question? And what I will always ask a liberal who tells me that they think people should be given class status based on sexual orientation, which is what that is, do you believe people ought to get class status based on the way they have sex? Because that's all that is. And most people will tell you no. But they don't think that's grounds for being granted class status. That's an area they've been real active with in Texas. They have tried to put the sexual orientation language in a number of bills. And up to now, we have been successful in stopping all those attempts. They've also tried to undo the sodomy law in a number of different ways, and we've been able to stop that. So we've been pretty successful here. They do have a pretty significant amount of AIDS funding through the State Department of Health, Department of Health and Human Services, and are continuing to try to do more of that. They are aggressively in Texas working at the State Board of Education to get the quote-unquote gay story into more and more textbooks. The homosexuals have been pretty successful at doing that. The health books had 800 hotline numbers and all sorts of stuff in them when they came out. They've done a better job at that level than they have probably anywhere else outside of the Department of Health. Now, the Department of Health, they pretty much get what they want as far as those types of programs. I think that the tide's turning somewhat, and I believe that there's going to be less and less of that approved as time moves forward as far as the AIDS-type funding, because I think lawmakers are starting to get a picture of what this money is being used for. And I think you're going to see at least a leveling off, and then at some point I believe we'll start to see less funding. But at this point, they are very successful, Department of Health. In the local communities, you're starting to see in the big cities a real move to push the sexual orientation language and to push what's called domestic partnerships. Domestic partnerships is, in their eyes, is the equivalent of a marriage. It's a homosexual live-in relationship. City of Boston, in fact, did adopt one and was later overturned by a voter referendum. But that's being pushed more and more. In fact, here in the city of Fort Worth in 1991, they tried to put sexual orientation into the housing and discrimination policies, and because of the involvement of the citizens here, were unable to do so. But that type of stuff's going to continue. The homosexuals are becoming more and more politically active as far as running homosexuals for office. In the state legislature, we have one open homosexual now in the legislature. We just elected another one a month ago out of El Paso. And there's rumor that there's a third one, although he's not open, that won the primary as a Republican this time. So they are pushing that more and more in the electorate. And where you're seeing them show up is local school boards, local city councils, a lot of them. Because they understand the bottom-up process, the political process, as far as you build from the bottom, you don't build from the top. They understand that. And they're running their people for local boards, local city councils, appointed boards in cities, appointed boards in school boards. They're getting them in the pipeline. They're building a farm team, which is what we must do. And it's just like Glenn Maxey, who won down in Austin. He had already been involved in city government in appointed positions. So he understood the process. He understood how it works. And once he got elected, he's been a pretty tremendous player for them. And we've got to start doing the same thing. And again, when you delve into this, you got to be able to separate the people from the agenda. Just because I am opposed to homosexual sex in parks as public policy does not mean that I hate homosexuals. But it does mean that I think this is a bad idea. But you've got to be able to keep them separate. And when you're talking in the media or you're talking in public about this subject, it's a very delicate one. And it's one that you can get yourself in a real bind with in the press in a hurry if you say the wrong thing. You got to be very careful how you address it. Whether we like it or not, it is politically incorrect to say something against the homosexual community right now. And I'm not saying that we shouldn't. I think we should. You know, it's their behavior, their actions, their political agenda are wrong, and I think we should say so. But you have to be careful how you go about doing it. When you make disparaging comments, that ends up being the story instead of what the issue really was, because that's what they look for. They look for side issues. They cannot defend sex in parks, and they can't defend sex in the bathrooms and shopping malls. But they can defend being called names. So you have to be very careful how you deal with that, or you end up, you can actually do more damage than you do good. You look bored, Emerald. I think at this point I'll open it up for questions, because that's probably the best way to cover what y'all want to know. Go ahead, Bob.
Yeah, Do you have any good suggestions of how we can approach and talk in a language they might possibly understand, the way we can express compassion and care and concern about them without them thinking we're trying to stomp on their so-called rights? I mean, that seems to be the problem, seems to be communication in a way that they understand it.
Yeah. Yeah, that is part of it. He asked about being able to address the homosexuals in a way that they don't feel like you're trying to stomp on their rights. That actually is part of the major problem, not only in the homosexual issue, but in all these major issues, is it's a society that first of all believes that their rights come before anything else. It's my right, it's my body, I should be able to do whatever I want to, has become the trinity of the left. Whether you're talking about abortion or whether you're talking about gay rights. So that is a fundamental problem when it comes to addressing them. Because like I said, until they get to the place where they can see that where they are is not going anywhere, and they are truly broken, it is very, very difficult to reach them because their whole, if you can imagine, the way you just got to think is, if your only thought pattern in life was me, that's how they think, and that's what makes it. Now there is some ways to go to them, but again, my experiences from having dealt with them in parks and so on is that they. In fact, we had at AFA when I was there, we had. For about a year and a half, we had a little work group for homosexuals that wanted to come out. But even in there, the ones that were not serious, and I mean, yeah, they knew some things weren't right, but they hadn't hit rock bottom yet. They typically didn't stay. And they would be the ones that would end up causing problems with some of the others as far as actually trying to go to them, make sexual advances and that kind of thing. So. The ones, though, that came and were broken and really wanted out of this, those are the guys that you can help. But anyway, you want to follow up with another?
It seems there's a major problem with a lot of people, no matter what the problem area is that they have or sin area, is short-sightedness. They want their desires and what they think are their needs fulfilled now.
Right, self-gratification.
And they want to concentrate on long-term, definitely not on eternity, in trying to communicate the fact that, you know, that we're concerned about their welfare too.
Right.
And convincing them of it, because we're talking much longer term, you know, they want us, they seem to think that if we really are in agreement with them and we really are concerned about them, we need to be concerned about them getting what they want.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Not what's really best for them in the long run, and which is a kind of a very immature attitude.
Right.
It's kids say, I want what I want now.
It's the whole thing that's going on now, self-gratification. You know, I want it now. Don't talk to me about consequences. I want it now. And it is very, very much like a child, and it is what we're teaching as a society. And that's, again, that is why it's very difficult to get to them, because that is their mindset. It's my body, it's my right, I should be able to do what I want to with my own body, type thing. And that becomes very, very, very hard to get through. There are some successful programs out there. Exodus International has one that's pretty much nationwide. There are churches now starting to get involved in it. The Christian community is going to have to deal with this issue at some point. They have not. The Christian community, quite frankly, has not dealt with very many of the social problems in America. They certainly have not dealt with the abortion issue. But when you have a homosexual come to a mainstream church, most of them, first of all, do not know what to do with him. They're not set up to handle it. And it is a high maintenance ministry when you start dealing with those type of people. And not only high maintenance, but homosexuals bring a lot of baggage. I mean, there's a high chance when you start messing in the right word, but when you start trying to minister to homosexuals, that you're going to be dealing with people that are diseased, who have all sorts of physical problems, who There's a large percentage of them that are on their death or on death row when you get to them. I mean, they have some type of physical ailment that has already taken their body, and it's just a matter of when they die, whether it's age or whether it's a number of different things. It is very prevalent. Right. Absolutely. And again, that's where the balance comes between trying to deal with them as a person and fighting the political agenda. Because we're not opposed to them as people. Right. Right. And it's a hard, hard balance. And I can tell you, and they understand it. They know that. And so what they do when you get out there and you try to fight the political agenda, like, you know, I've been on the front of a lot of political fights concerning them, then what the rhetoric they use is that we're mongers of hate, you know, we have no compassion, so on and so forth. Well, the political agenda has nothing to do with them. And anytime you're talking in public or you're talking to the press and they want to try to bring the two together, you have got to separate them. Because you cannot win the debate if you allow them to set the argument. And again, you know, if the press wants to talk about compassion toward homosexuals, I'll be glad to talk about compassion. And I'll be glad to tell the press that the policies of the homosexual leadership is not compassionate. In fact, it's very destructive. But if you want to talk about the political agenda, then let's talk about the political agenda. But you can't bring the two together when you start getting out there into the secular world, or you end up on the losing end, because they will paint you as having no compassion. They will paint you as hateful, and so on and so forth. The homosexuals are very good at taking worst case scenarios, like a homosexual coming out of a bar getting beat up and killed or whatever, as being the norm. That certainly is not the norm. The Christian community should oppose that type of violence regardless of who it is. We do. I can tell you the Christian Coalition has made public statements opposing that type of thing. We're not for quote-unquote bashing of anybody, but we still don't believe they deserve special rights based on the way they have sex. So it is a very complicated issue. I'm sorry?
I don't think anyone deserves special rights other than the minority. Any type, I think they deserve equal rights. I think everybody deserves equal rights under the law, but what really annoys me is people who think they deserve special rights under the law.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, they certainly do. That's what they're asking for is special policy for them. And again, it's not even based on some unchangeable aspect of their life. It's a behavior that they are making a conscious decision to engage in. This whole nonsense of born this way is just nonsense. There's no credible studies out there that says that shows that is in fact the case.
The problem is that they really do believe, a lot of them, I am convinced, really do believe that they are born that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, part of our study here, you know, whether it's biblical or not. Now, of course, a lot of these homosexuals belong to this Metropolitan Community Church, where they are told, and they are probably totally convinced that, you know, God really didn't make them that way.
Mm-hmm.
Now, how can we, you know, discuss that with them in a way that we can be, you know, having a productive conversation and hope of doing some good?
Yeah, I think that's a good question about, he's asking about how to deal with, the fact that the homosexuals do have a church side to them, and when you talk to a lot of them, they'll tell you that they're born again. They'll tell you they're Christians. They'll tell you all sorts of things. A lot of that has come to be because, as I said, you got to go back to the whole what is a homosexual, remembering that they're unhappy people, and a large percentage of them understand that what they're doing is wrong. And they also understand that the Bible says it's wrong. So what the alternative is then, and I really put this in the hands of the leadership, I think this is an intentional move on the parts of the leadership, is to establish a church that basically says, no, that's really okay. This is not wrong, thereby trying to relieve the fears from the homosexuals that they are actually in sin. And that's exactly what's going on with the Metropolitan Church. I mean, they basically have no doctrine other than we should love each other, and we should love each other. But it's like your child is sticking their finger in an electric plug. Well, am I loving that child by spanking that child so that she or he may not do that again, therefore living, or am I loving that child by letting that child go back and stick a finger in there again? And it's the same thing. And we as a Christian community are going to have to start defining what love is much better than we are. Love does not mean that you allow someone to stay in a sin pattern and just stay there. That's not love. I mean, that's apathy is what it is. And I think, I can't remember the quote, but Jeff Baldwin talks about the government that that stays in mercy, I can't remember the quote now, is an unmerciful government. And I really believe those that really love the homosexual community, want to see something done there, if they really love those people, then they would help them to get out of that lifestyle, because it's very destructive. And obviously the AIDS activists and the homosexual leaders, in my opinion, do not. In fact, they're destroying, like I said, they are destroying the movement. I was in Washington, D.C. 3 years ago when they marched on Washington, and there was 250,000 homosexuals on the mall in Washington. And I can remember standing at the Lincoln Memorial and looking across the mall and thinking, you know, 10 years from now, most of those will be dead. And they'll be dead because of the policies they're asking for. And it is a sad day. And I think it's now, I'll say this, I think homosexuals are harder to reach than other groups because it's a perversion. It's kind of like Sodom and Gomorrah. I mean, you read that story of what happened when the messengers came to Job and how they acted. It's not even rational. It's a movement that's entirely driven by sex. It has no other agenda, and it's just, they're just driven. And so to some degree, they reach a place where I think that it's almost impossible to get to them. But there are those that's not the case. Any other questions?
I would try to come up with some sort of an analogy to make a point.
Mm-hmm.
And one I kind of tended to go to is that, you know, if your child is playing in the street, you know, you don't let them play in the street, but then if you use that kind of an example, then they act like you're talking down to them as if you're a parent and they're a subservient child and you've got no right to do that.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been trying to think about this because you've been talking. Maybe if we could come up with something like, if your best friend, if you know your best friend is engaging in this destructive behavior, if he's got a habit, mm-hmm. I mean, you can call it, I mean, maybe right. You can say alcoholism. You know, almost everybody will agree that alcoholism is destructive.
Uh-huh.
Now, they don't want to accept the fact that their homosexual lifestyle is destructive. But maybe if you can use an example like that where there's drugs kill a lot of people. You know, you use something like that as an example. I mean, I'm always searching for ways to try to relate, to try to find some common ground, some area that you can find some agreement on.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it's harder and harder to find that common ground with somebody that you don't really agree with them on very much, but just to help them get the idea that you really do have welfare at heart.
Right.
And you're not just trying to force your beliefs on them.
Right, right. Yeah, I think that's a good point, and I think it's just something you have to develop on your own. You could use, highway speed laws as an example. You know, we don't have 120 mile an hour speed laws on the interstate because it would be very destructive to do so. But you have the ability to drive 120 miles an hour if you want to. But we put those laws or restraints for your own good. And the same is true when you start talking about moral policy. Those restraints are not there to prevent you from having a good time. They're there for your benefit. And it's, but again, it's just, if you can ever get to the place with a homosexual where you can really have a discussion, you can get somewhere. But like I said, you're going to find most of the time it just isn't the case. But it's not just a homosexual. I mean, how many lost people walking down the street can you really have a discussion about anything? The Holy Spirit's got to do a work in them before you can do it. And, you know, but there's a lot going on with it. Any other questions, KB? No? You know everything? Well, thanks for coming. I apologize for not having an outline to kind of work from. I wasn't planning to do this segment.